They've still got commercial aircraft stored there in Roswell. Does American Eagle still land there or not?
They have 240 airplanes sitting on one of the runways out here in storage because of our low humidity and warmer temperatures. Most of them are American Airlines, and I can't even begin to think how much money is sitting out there. And I suppose it's 90% because of the economy, but it's unbelievable to see all those airplanes sitting out there. Most of them have the engines covered where they're protected from dirt. Many of them have the windows tinfoil where sun doesn't get in, fade anything. And then they also have several hangars where they're taking airplanes apart and refurbishing the parts and reselling them. Everything
Well, that's
from
what they're doing in Building 84 now, right?
Everything from a DC-9 to 747. So I was out there this morning on a tour, and there was a 747 sitting there with no windows, no engines, part of a tail missing. And it's kind of eerie to see all that, but I guess the economy being what it is, there's no choice but to put these things in mothballs.
Does McDonald's still have their flying saucer front?
They do, yeah. And we still have the alien eyes on some of the globes of the street lights, and all the t-shirt shops are still here. They really have capitalized on it. And as a serious researcher, I'm not into that part of it, but I understand that it's good revenue for the city. The museum continues to get about 150,000 people a year. And, if you're coming to Roswell, you're coming for a purpose because we're 200 miles from anywhere. And a lot of people come through here.
And there's some other things that can go on down if they're in the center thing, drive on down to Carlsbad Caverns and
Over to
go up.
Lincoln, where Billy the Kid shot his way out of jail. You got Carlsbad, not too far. You can go out to Socorro, to the very large array, the satellite dishes that are looking for life out in space. There's a lot of, you mentioned up front in the show about New Mexico, and I don't think most of the American people are aware of what all is in New Mexico because we have the National Lab at Los Alamos, Sandia Lab, we have the VLA, we have White Sands, we have Holloman Air Force Base. There's just a whole lot of military stuff going on here that most people don't know anything about.
And that is probably the reason so much UFO activity was reported to begin with, and why so many crashes.
Yeah, I've got a map that a researcher worked out of sightings in 1947, and just in New Mexico in 47, there were something like 15 or 20 sightings of UFOs back then. So it's not an uncommon thing here. And I'm of the opinion that most of the stuff that people see in the sky, most stuff west of the Mississippi River is probably some of our own stuff, because there's so much room out here to test aircraft and do this type of thing that I think most of what they see probably belongs to us, or at least I hope it does.
But not all of it.
Not all of it.
Let's talk briefly about some of your other areas of expertise.
Well, I
You're
got into
interested.
this basically with the Roswell incident. That was the first thing I really started researching. And then my engineering background with the Texas Highway Department kicked my interest up in underground bases, how they were built, who built them, and for what purpose. And I've done a lot of research on that. Area 51 caught my attention because of the secrecy involved there. And I do lectures on all three of those subjects. Roswell Area 51 and underground bases. And then in 2001, I was asked to join the advisory board of the Great Pyramids of Giza in Egypt. And at first, I didn't know why they wanted me on the board, but then I found out that some of the board members did believe that there might have been some ET involvement in the building of the pyramids. That has become absolutely fascinating research for me. And probably the most difficult because in Egypt, tourism is big business. And for me to try to say that the pyramids of Giza, the three pyramids on the Giza Plateau, probably were not built by the Egyptians. That's not going to sell well. But I think the factual information leans towards the fact that the pyramids on Giza and the Sphinx are much older than the Egyptian civilization. I've gone through and done some mathematical calculations on some of this stuff, and it's just absolutely fascinating when you start putting a pencil to it and determine, you know, how some of this stuff could have developed.
So you're still doing a little research and work on the pyramids too.
I am, and like I said, it's just absolutely fascinating because those are structures that are actually physically there, unlike UFOs and things like that, which people say they see. But the pyramids are there. We know they're there. We see them. But you know, when you stop and think, there's 2.5 million stones in the large pyramid, the Great Pyramid. In order for those stones to be set by 20 or 30,000 people, employees, workers, over a 20 or 30 year period, they would have had to set a stone every 90 seconds for 20 or 30 years. It's a mathematical impossibility. And then what you see today is not what the original pyramids looked like. They were covered with a polished limestone. Most of them were taken off by the Arabs to build mosques and temples. The second pyramid, the middle pyramid, still has some of the casing stones on top, but most of the other stones have been removed. You know, the mathematical value of pi, 3.14, was supposedly discovered by the Greeks in the 3rd century. However, when one takes the designed height of the pyramid, 481 feet, it bears the same relationship to the base at 3,023 feet as does the circumference of the circle to its radius. I did the calculations on that, and it came out exactly to the same as the base perimeter. So
wow.
There's also a direct relationship between the dimension of the pyramid and the dimension of the Earth using a scale of 1 to 43,200. And that, those are relationships that are not speculation. Those are facts. So, you know, the accuracy on the pyramid base between the longest and shortest side is less than 8 inches, considering the side is 755 feet long. The engineering in these things is just absolutely mind-boggling.
So it didn't work out the way Cecil DeMille did it in the movie with all of the slaves pulling everything away.
No.
There's probably something else going on.
You know, you would think that there would be a reference in the Bible somewhere to the pyramids. I have not been able to find any reference at all in the Bible about the pyramids.
From you, that comes with a lot of weight because you've been active in the Baptist Church here in Roswell forever.
Yeah. And, you know, Moses was brought up by the Pharaoh and things like that. So, you know, that information should have been there, which tells me that they're older than that. Some people go as far, they have found evidence of water damage on the pyramids, up way up inside the pyramids. If that's the case, it may go back to what they describe as the flood, you know, and of course that would predate Egypt also. But everything to me indicates that they're older than the Egyptian civilization. But I'm only talking about the three on Giza, on the plateau. The other 80 or 90 pyramids, I believe, were built by Egyptians, but they're very poor replicas of the three at Giza.
Now let's. I can't let you off the air without talking about Area 51. Why don't you give an overview, real briefly, or something about Area 51? You think it interests our listeners? Because we have new listeners. You know, I've been doing these UFO shows forever. You've been doing UFO research forever. But not everybody's been up to speed on it.
Well, you know, I don't often do a review on books. But back in January, Annie Jacobson came out with a book on Area 51. And I wasn't going to read it. And then I got to reading some stuff on the Internet about the book. So I decided, well, I'll go ahead and get it. So I got the book. And it really was an excellent book on Area 51. She mentioned names. She talked about different things that have taken place there, the aircraft that have been developed and test flown there. But she made the big mistake of talking about Roswell. And I absolutely destroyed her on the Roswell because she didn't have any information correct about Roswell.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Area 51 is located some 60 miles northwest of Las Vegas, Nevada. A lot of people think it's here in New Mexico, but it's up in Nevada next to the atomic test site. And I was up there in 2006 and did a couple lectures at the Little Alien Inn at Rachel. And we went out to both the gates. There's two gates. One of them has a drop-down gate with a guard shack. The other one does not have a gate, and the guard shack is down a quarter mile behind a sand dune. You do not want to cross the border at Area 51. The signs that are posted there about no trespassing say the use of deadly force is authorized, and I believe they mean what they say. When we were out there, the guards were up on a hill, sitting in a pickup in camo uniforms with binoculars watching us. The sensing devices they had, they could listen to what I was saying. They had a camera mounted on a 30-foot pole that followed me when I walked down along the border. And every so often I'd stop and turn. The camera would key in on me, and I'd wave at the guards to harass them a little bit. But if you don't cross it, the guards won't bother you. But if you cross it, they're going to turn you over to the local sheriff. You're going to be interrogated, and you're going to be fined between $5,000 and $6,000, and they will probably know where you're at for the rest of your life. I think the biggest thing going on there today are the new drones. It was opened in 1955 by the Central Intelligence Agency, not by the military, to test the U-2 aircraft. And all airplanes since the U-2 in 1955 have been test flown at Area 51. That includes the A-10, the A-12, the B-1, the B-2, the F-117, the Raptor F-22. All airplanes that are tested nowadays are tested there. And the secrecy of that base is like none other anywhere in the world. I personally think they ought to put signs on the border similar to the signs at Area 51, because nobody goes into Area 51. And maybe if we put signs on the border, Mexican and Canadian border, maybe we could have that problem fixed.
Yeah, you got a good point. Okay, so once again, Tony Cisneros and his agency has tours of Roswell, and they can contact you directly as well on your website.
My website is www.truthseeker@roswell.com. My email address is on there. I love that people write to me. I get 100, 150 emails a day. Try to answer those that are good emails. Always like to hear from people that go to the site. And my webmaster recently did a check, and I was amazed to find out that the website since 98 has had over 5 million hits, which are numbers that are just mind-boggling to me.
Well, yeah, you've had that website for a long time, and we do urge people to go over there.
Thank you.
And we'll look for you at a conference near wherever these people are, the Border Zone Conference in October for sure, and you got some others there. You're going to be in Sedona just before that, right?
September 21st, I'll be in Sedona. Then I come back, and a week later, I'm in Abilene, Texas. And then in October 19th and 20th in Presidio. And if anybody's coming through Roswell and wants a tour, tell them to get a hold of me and we'll do it.
And your number and everything there, they can find it on that website.
It's all there.
And
yeah.
We have a link to it as well from our website. They just go find your picture and click on it.
I appreciate that.
Thanks very much, Dennis Balthizer. I haven't been able to see you personally in a little while, but maybe we'll run across
you. I wish you the best with everything.
Well, we keep on trucking. Thanks very much, Dennis Balthizer. Appreciate it.
I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening. Until next time, cheers.
Own the book that has unraveled and shaken the UFO and alien research establishment to its core. already called an incredible book and an incredible story by George Norrie of Coast to Coast AM, UFO Highway offers the most explosive look at the most infamous underground base in the world, Dulce. Critically acclaimed author and researcher Anthony F. Sanchez breaks down the secret underground base and gives readers the innermost glimpse of the secretive military-industrial complex and the forbidden alien agenda. Learn how Sanchez explains the origins of humanity with startling proof, detailing how off-world intervention has been the cause for humanity's rapid and exponential growth in technology. As time draws down, are you prepared for the truth? Order this incredible, eye-opening book today at www.ufohighway.com. That's www.ufohighway.com.